Good to see you out this morning. Happy New Year, first Sunday of the new year. So, just real quick, I won't make you raise your hands, but were you able to get into God's Word and read the Bible to start the year? I hope that you have. And if you didn't, there's a schedule out at the Welcome Center, and you're only 1 week behind. That means you've only missed about 14 chapters in Genesis and the book of Job, okay? But you're not too far behind. You just double up your reading, and you can get it done. So I'd like to encourage you to try to read the Bible through this year. The sheet that's at the Welcome Center, it takes you through chronologically. And so as you read it, you'll see things as they happened in time rather than just the order of the book. So I want to encourage you to do that. We have a lot of things going on. Next Sunday night, we have comedian Craig Tornquist with us, and it is going to be a spectacular night, okay? He is funny. It'll be very entertaining. It'll be a lot of fun, and it'll be just a great time of fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ. So if you are planning on coming, please sign up at the Welcome Center. We are providing chicken. Rachel and I are, and we just need to make sure that we buy enough. So if you don't sign up, you don't get any chicken. I don't know how to enforce that, but sounds good. So please sign up at the Welcome Center. Also, today at 1:30, the bus is leaving to go to Bear Lake Bible Camp. They've got cross-country skiing, sledding, and tubing down the hills, ice wall climbing, a whole bunch of fun activities. They're also providing dinner at 5:30, and so it's free. And if you'd like to go, the bus leaves here at 1:30, and then it's just going to be a fun time. And I believe the bus is coming back. We'll be back here at the church at 8 tonight. Or you could just drive yourself out there as well. Friday night, for the men, we're starting Act Like Men. All right? It's a 40-day journey. There's 40 days worth of devotions. I've purchased some books, and it's going to be a really great time of growth. And I just, I started reading the book in December. I just finished it this last week, and I'm looking forward to reading it again. It's really good stuff. It'll challenge you. So men, sign up at the Welcome Center, even if you haven't signed up. Be here at 10 p.m. on Friday, and it's going to be a great, great ride. In your bulletin, we've got before I do the bulletin, I have a card here from Don and Judy Kilburn. And they say, thank you. It was amazing for 12th Street family for attending their 50th wedding anniversary. And it was really bad weather that day. So those who came out, they do want to say thank you for coming out. In your bulletin, there's a blank envelope and a letter. Okay? what we will do this morning is you will take this letter, and it says, dear blank, you're going to write your name in, and you will write a letter to yourself. And here's why you're writing this letter. You're sharing goals that you have for 2018. And then you're also giving yourself a word of encouragement. Write something that, when you read it later on, will be encouraging to you. When we take communion this morning, before you take communion, you'll come up and drop your letter off. It's write your address in, address the envelope to yourself, put the letter in there, and then you'll drop that off, and then you'll take communion with the people that are sitting around you or with your family. And these letters we will hold on to in the office. And sometime, at some random time during the year, we'll ship this letter out to you. And I'm hoping that this can really be an encouragement, something that you encourage yourself with, okay? So we're going to just have it quiet for about 5 minutes. Pull those letters out. Hopefully you have a pen. If you don't, there are some pens in the pews. And I'll give you this one, Cheryl. And go ahead and start working on that. We're going to have it quiet for just a few minutes so you can work on that. Write down some goals and write down a note of encouragement to yourself. And then hang on to it, and we'll be turning these in a little bit. Thank you. Lord, as we put these thoughts down, I pray that you would help these letters to ourselves to be encouraging, that they would be good reminders later in the year of what we hope to see happening in our lives. And I thank you, Lord, that you've got great plans. So as letters are continued to be written and as we begin our service, I just pray, Lord, that today would be a great start, the first Sunday of 2018, that today would be a wonderful beginning of a new year where we have so much hope, not just in what we can see happen this year, but in what you will do in our lives as a great God. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would work in mighty ways. I pray that 2018 would be the best year that we each have lived. I pray, Lord, that we would see you do more in our lives this year than we've ever seen. And I pray, Lord, that we would experience the fullness of your grace every day, that when it's not readily apparent, we would seek it out and find it. And so, Lord, we're so excited. Lord, I'm excited about what you will do. And so just today, take everything that we say and do, help it to build and create good in our lives for your glory. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our theme for this year, if you haven't been able to tell by the bulletins or by the t-shirts that I'm wearing, the praise team's wearing, is, I got a video that I want to show you to introduce our theme for this year. You got that video queued up? All right.
Don't you think my dress?
Yes, it's lovely, dear. Good heavens, child. You can't go in there. Now, let's see, dear. Your size and the shade of your eyes. Mm-hmm. Something simple. But daring, too. Oh, just leave it to me. What a gown this will be. Bibbidi-bobbidi.
Oh, it's a beautiful dress. Did you ever see such a beautiful dress? And look, glass slippers. Why, it's like a dream.
Our theme is Game Changer, all right? And I'm excited about it. As we study throughout the year, we're going to study the apostles. They were all game changers. And we're going to study the minor prophets in the Old Testament and the major prophets, all the prophets in the Old Testament, and look at what happened in their lives. They were all game changers. And I hope that through this, you realize God wants to change you, like Cinderella at the beginning there, from a pauper, a servant. Here's what the scripture says. And he has made you, or made us, kings and priests unto God. And I am so excited that we can dwell on that thought this year, that God has made us kings and priests. Let's stand together as we worship the Lord.
We're going to sing My Redeemer Lives.
I know he rescued my soul. His blood has covered my sin. I believe. I believe. He's rescued my soul. His blood has covered my sin. I believe. I believe. My shame He's taken away. My pain is healed in His name. I believe. I believe. I'll raise a banner. Conquered the grave, my Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. You lift my burdens. I'll rise with you. I'm dancing on this mountain top to see your kingdom.
Glad in 2018 that you can sing My Redeemer Lives.
Amen.
Hey, let's crown Him Majesty.
Crown Him with many crowns, the Lamb upon His throne. Hark, soul, and sing of Him who died for me, and hail Him as thy matchless King through all eternity. Majesty, Lord of all, let every throne come adore our God who reigns forevermore. Crown Him Lord of life, who triumphed o'er the grave and rose victorious in the strife for those He Redeemer, hail, for He
have the ushers come forward, please. You may be seated.
Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the new year that you've given us in 2018. We just ask that you will help us as a church to be willing to go out and reach those around us, Lord, and to serve you in a mighty way. Father, we just ask that you just be with us now as we bring forth our tithes and offering. We ask that you'll bless every gift and giver, and we pray this now in your Son's precious holy name. Amen.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness, oh God.
As we begin 2018, it's really good to begin by taking communion. When we take communion, we commune with God. We thank him for what he did in sending Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. And we remember the sacrifice that was paid for our sins. The bread is, we use unleavened bread. That's why it doesn't rise. It doesn't have any yeast in it, because Jesus had no sin in his body, and his body was broken for us. And the juice, it has no yeast in it or any leaven in it as well. It's grape juice, fresh, because Jesus' blood was the perfect sacrifice for our sin. And as we go to communion, if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, then I'm going to encourage you, don't take communion, because it won't do any good for you. It's meant for those who have trusted Christ as their Lord and Savior to remember his death. And Jesus said, do this until I return. And so that's what we encourage all who have trusted Christ to do, to use this as a moment to reflect on your life, confess your sin, and just thank the Lord for his sacrifice for you. So here's how we'll do it this morning, a little different than usual. You've got your letters. If you haven't finished, keep writing. Make sure you write your address on the envelope. Put the letter in your envelope. And then you'll come up and you'll, if you're on that side, go up to that box over there, drop it in the box. And then you'll take the elements, take it back to your seat. And you can pray with your family around you, or if you don't have family here, pray with those that are sitting around you. Find somebody to make, I mean, we're all family, right? And find somebody to pray with. And take communion together quietly. And then when everybody's done, we'll continue with the service. And so I'd like to invite the praise team to come first, because they're going to be playing some music. And let's spend this time with the Lord.
I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you. I'm in. Sin washed white, I owe all to you. I owe all to you, Jesus. There's a place where sin and shame are powerless. And forgiveness, where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, I surrender.
Lord, I just pray that you'd bless the remainder of our time together. Bless the reading of your word and the preaching of your word. May it have an impact on all of our hearts and lives. And we thank you for the sacrifice that you have given to us, where we can freely receive salvation because of your sacrifice. And I thank you that your blood ran red for our redemption. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At this time, the children may be dismissed to children's church. And as the children head out, let's take our Bibles and turn to Ezekiel chapter 24. Ezekiel 24. Now, before you leave today, we've got our theme T-shirts at the Welcome Center. All right, they're in the lobby. They're on tables there, and so make sure you pick one up before you leave. And every time you wear it, remember that what the theme is. Remember that we are game changers, and I'm excited to talk about this and look at God's word throughout the year. And our verse, it's a really easy verse to memorize, okay? It's Revelation 1:6, and he has made us kings and priests unto God, okay? We all can memorize that. That's an easy thing to memorize. Let that ring into your mind throughout this year. So with all these pawns on the stage and these kings up here, I thought it would be appropriate to tell a chess joke, okay? Chess jokes are very deep and intellectual, so just stay with me, all right? So I was having dinner with Garry Kasparov. Okay, he's a famous chess player, world champion. When you have to explain a joke, it's not good. But he was a very famous, he is a famous chess player, okay? And he's known for taking his time and being deliberate, okay? Well, I was having dinner with Garry Kasparov, and the problem was we had a checkered tablecloth, and so it took him 2 hours to pass the salt. I said chess jokes are very deep, okay? In a park, people came across a man playing chess against a dog. They were astonished. And they said, "Wow, what a clever dog." And the man protested. He said, "Nah, this dog isn't very smart. I'm beating him 3-1. I like that one, so. Revelation 1:6. He has made us kings and priests. Usually, when we think of a king, we think of something that we are not. We think of a position that we can't hold to, and we think of a title that doesn't fit us. If we were to look at any pieces on a chess table, usually, or on a chessboard, we usually would think of the pawn as most relatable for us. Now, when you look at a chessboard, the most powerful piece is the queen, right? I mean, the queen can move all over the place. She can do what she wants. Except for when the queen dies, the game still is played. The rook, powerful piece. He can slide up and down that board. But the rook, when he dies, the game continues to be played. The bishop, the knight, they can both do a lot, but when they die, the game continues. And then you have these little guys, the pawns. There are 4 times as many pawns as any other piece on the board. There are 8 pawns of each color. And the pawn is usually the piece that you put out there as bait. And so that pawn can be taken so you can take a bigger piece. But there's only one piece on the board that if it gets taken, really you never take this piece, when you put it in peril where it cannot escape, when the king is put in checkmate, that is the only time that the game is over. To be made a king makes you an indispensable part of God's plan. Let's read here in Ezekiel chapter 24. In Ezekiel 24, verses 16 through 19, it says this. Son of man, this is God speaking to Ezekiel. Behold, I take away from you the desire of your eyes with a stroke. Yet neither shall you mourn or weep, neither shall your tears run down. Don't cry. Make no mourning for the dead. Don't put the tire around your head upon you, that's a sign of mourning. And put on your shoes on your feet. Cover not your lips, and don't eat the bread of men. So I spoke unto the people in the morning, and at evening my wife died. And I did in the morning as I was commanded. When we read this, Ezekiel's a prophet of God. He writes one of the longest books in the Old Testament. He's a man that served God faithfully. And one morning, God comes to him and says, "Hey, tonight your wife's going to die. And when she dies, don't cry. When they have the funeral procession, Don't join them. And when they have a dinner, don't eat with them. Act as if nothing happened. If you're Ezekiel, you feel like a pawn, don't you? If you're Ezekiel's wife, she doesn't even know. Can you imagine Ezekiel coming home from prophesying all day, communing with God? And he sees his wife, and he knows she will have a stroke that night, and she will die. I wonder if he told her. I like to imagine that he didn't. I like to think that he just enjoyed his time with her. And she passes. They come take the body out of the house, and Ezekiel acts as if nothing has happened. They run a funeral procession through town, and they mourn, and there are professional people that their whole job is to cry really loud. The more important the person, the louder they would cry. And Ezekiel doesn't even come outside to acknowledge the death of his wife. And then they throw the dinner in town, and they want to help comfort him with food, and he won't even eat their bread. He just stands back aloof as if nothing had happened, because Ezekiel is a pawn on God's chessboard. And his wife was expendable. I mean, doesn't that how that story come across to you? That's how it comes across to me. How would we feel if we're sitting in the morning and we're reading our devotions and we're praying and God says, hey, tonight your spouse is going to die. Act as if nothing happened. Now, the reason that God had told Ezekiel act as if nothing happened, because they had walked far away from God, and God had been judging them, and they took his judgment and pretended like his judgment was nothing. They treated it like, oh, God's not judging us. We're just going through a little spell. We'll be okay. And they weren't acknowledging the hardship that was taking place. And so God is using Ezekiel to show them how their hearts are wrong. Sure seems like a pawn to me, doesn't it? Turn over to Mark chapter 6, in verses 17 through 24. Mark 6, 17 through 24. It says this: for Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John. This is John the Baptist, the cousin of Jesus. We talked about him a couple weeks ago when he was born. And bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. So Herod took his brother Philip's wife away from Philip, and her name was Herodias, and he married her. Kind of a sick guy, right? To take his brother's wife. And then it says, for John, verse 18, had said unto Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him and would have killed him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and holy, and observed him. And when he had heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. And when a convenient day was come, that Herod on his birthday made a supper to his lords, high captains, and chief estates of Galilee, when the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and those that sat with him, the king said to the damsel, ask of me whatever you will, and I will give it to you. And he sware unto her, whatever you will ask of me, I will give it unto you, unto the half of my kingdom. And she went forth and said to her mother, What shall I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. And so she asked for the head of John the Baptist. Look at verse 27. And immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought. And he went and beheaded him in the prison and brought his head in a charger and gave it to the damsel. And the damsel gave it to her mother. I mean, we're talking about one of the heroes in the Bible. This is John the Baptist. He's the man who baptized Jesus. And how does he end his life? He preaches the truth. The king and his illegitimate wife get mad at the truth, and so they cut his head off and deliver it on a platter. And we read this and we go, wait a minute. Are we anything more than pawns? I mean, are we just pieces that move on the board for that, so that other people can succeed? And see, this is an easy trap for us to fall into, to think that all we are pawns. Because it would be so easy for us to look at all the hardships, to look at all the failures, to look at all the difficulties, and to look at that and go, you know what? What does my life really mean? What difference does this person really make? And we could look at all those things and we could go, you know what? I just don't think that life is very glamorous. So here's what we start to do. We start to live for ourselves and try to get what we can for us. Because if I'm just a pawn, I may as well take as many pieces with me as I can. If I'm just a pawn, I want to get across the board. Because what happens when a pawn gets all the way across the board? Turns into a queen or whatever piece you want it to be. Except for a king. See, here's the hard thing about life. We can't make ourselves kings. To be a king, in God's estimation, there's only one way that it can happen. And it's not by our own work. God is the one who transforms us. He does something called making us new in Christ. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 10, it says, and have put on the new man. See, when we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, there's something that's really big that happens. See, some people, they say, well, I prayed and I trusted Jesus and I got saved and nothing ever happened to me. Well, let me tell you, you didn't get saved then. Salvation isn't something that you do. It's something that God does. And when he does that, here's what happens to you. You put on a new man, a new person. There is a radical change that takes place. I mean, even more drastic than Cinderella from servant to princess. Even more drastic than any of the illustrations we could think of in mortal life. Because what God does in his transformation is he takes us from a mortal being into an immortal position. He makes us kings and priests unto God. And here's what happens. When you understand that you are a king, then you are a game changer. As a pawn, you feel expendable. And a lot of times, we work for self. When you're a king, you're indispensable. As a king, if God were to lose you as a king, it's game over for him, because he made you a king. In Revelation chapter 5 and verse 10, it says, and have made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. In 2 Timothy 2:12, it says that if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. This is a big part of life that we need to understand as Christians. And this is something that we really need to live. And I really want to encourage you in 2018 to live these things out. We are not just pawns. We reign with Christ. He makes us kings. So quit living like a pawn. Quit thinking that you're insignificant. Quit thinking that there's no use or no reason or no purpose. Because in Christ, the purpose is not yours, it's His. He doesn't make you a king unto yourself. He doesn't make you a king to your spouse. He doesn't make you a king to your parents or to your children. He makes you a king unto God. You're not a king over God. You're a king to Him. You're a king that's given responsibility and authority for Him. Because in your kingship, you are now reflecting the glory of the great King. You are now carrying the banner of the King of Kings. And His heavenly angel army is on your side. As a king, He makes you unto Himself. So real quickly, I've got four things I want to just encourage you with. Because Christ changes the game. When we trust Christ as our Savior, He changes the game for us. We're no longer pawns. You know what, before salvation, you know what you are? Whatever you can make yourself. And it's not a king. After salvation, something huge happens in you. First of all, when Christ changes the game, you are an overcomer. You are victorious. In 1 John 5, 4 through 5, it says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith." Who is he that overcomes the world? But he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Talk about a game changer. You are now someone who overcomes the world. The world swallows up so many lives. The world destroys so many people. The world beats so many people down. But when you believe in Christ, here's what He does. He changes the game. You are now the overcomer because of your faith in Him. The second thing. Oh, I got three things here. Three questions. That you being an overcomer because you believe in Jesus, here's three questions that this will answer. How? How is the game changed? Here's how. By believing in Jesus. Now, it's not just an intellectual believing in Jesus where, yeah, I think he died, and, you know, I think he's a real person. I mean, history talks about him. Several of the historical authors during his day, they all talk about him. So sure, yeah, I believe in Jesus. No. This believing in Jesus is more than the facts of Jesus, more than believing about Jesus. It is believing in Him. It's kind of like when you get on an airplane. You're trusting that this big, heavy chunk of metal can fly through the sky and land, right? I mean, airplanes are crazy things. Big old metal objects that somehow we trust that they're going to stay in the air and then land safely when we're in them. And what we do, we completely, totally put our trust into a pilot's hands who's directing this great big huge chunk of metal that's flying through the sky. But when you fly in a plane, probably none of us have ever come with a parachute on our back and we sit next to the door ready to jump. No, what do we trust? We put our life in the hands of the plane and the pilot. And here's what God expects. And this is the only way to truly believe in Him. It's where you put your complete trust in Him to guide and govern your life. When you put your complete trust in him to guide and govern your life, that's when he makes the change. This is how the change happens. Because you're trusting him with everything. So the next question is, well, when? When does this change take place? Well, the game is changed when you are born again in faith. Putting your complete trust in God. Here's how he responds. He makes you born again. Your flesh that was already born, that's the first time, that's the first birth. But what he does is he takes your spirit, the true you, the real you that lives inside the shell. And he makes that spirit alive in him. And you are born again in faith. And then so to what extent, is the last question, to what extent does the game change? Well, we just read it. You are victorious over the world. The world is no longer victorious over you. So I've talked to people, they say, well, I've trusted in Jesus, and I just can't stop sinning. And I just can't, you know, that's the same way I was before Jesus, that's how I am now. Well, then you don't have Jesus. Because God gave you Jesus to save you from your sin. Not just the penalty of your sin, but also the power of your sin. And when he saves you, you overcome the world. Now, it takes time. It's a process. It's not like you trust Christ and boom, all your bad habits are kicked. No, that's not how it works. It takes time. But here's what God will do. Through time, he will change you. And over the course of your life, you will see that you overcome the world. You beat it. You are victorious. It doesn't beat you. Second thing, Romans 8:37 says that we are more than conquerors. All right, that's like a huge, huge phrase. More than conquerors. How can you be more than a conqueror? I mean, like, you win, right? I played a lot of sports. If we won by one, we won. If we won by 20, we won. We won by 100, we won. You win, right? But here's what the Bible says. You are more than conquerors. I mean, this like takes what we just talked about, that we overcome the world, and it brings it to a whole new level. And how can we be more than conquerors? Well, here's how we can be more than conquerors. You're more than conquerors because your efforts don't create the victory. Your efforts don't create the victory. It was the efforts of Jesus Christ that makes us conquerors. You are more than conquerors because you don't have to worry about being good enough. You don't have to worry about conquering your own way. You conquer through Christ, which means you can do more, you conquer more than what you could ever have done on your own. Here's how you're more than a conqueror. You're not the one who's winning. Christ is winning for you. Okay, it's like this, okay? Tomorrow night, there'll be a national championship football game. Alabama will play against Georgia and win. That was for you, Tommy. But here's what will happen during the game. They will play the game. And the players on the field will do their best to try to win. Could you imagine if there was a scenario where all they had to do was tap into, well, in this case with Nick Saban, it almost happens this way. Just, we've got him on our sideline. We will win no matter what the other team tries to do. Okay, that person would be very valuable to have on your sideline, on your team. Well, here's what Jesus does in life. When you trust him, he conquers for you. You are more than a conqueror because you aren't the one that has to win all the time. He does it for you. If you follow him. See, some people, they want him to do all the work, but they don't want to follow him. No, it's work to follow him. It's hard work to do what he wants. It's hard work to follow. But you know what? As you do, he conquers for you. You are more than a conqueror. The third thing, you overcome the world because Christ is in you. 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Because Christ is in you, you conquer. That's an awesome thing. So here's a test that you can give to your life. You go, well, I've prayed to Jesus, and I'm not a person who overcomes the world. Okay, don't look at it as Jesus is failing you. Here's what you need to understand. You don't have Jesus. Unless he's a liar, which I know he's not, part of your salvation is the good that he accomplishes inside of you. When he died on the cross for your sins, he removed the penalty of sin. When you trust Jesus as your Savior, he puts his Spirit within you so that you are able to overcome the power of sin. And if you have Jesus in you, you are an overcomer. So if you don't overcome, you can't go, well, it doesn't work for me, it works for other people. No, this is just the plain truth. You're just not saved. And the Apostle Peter, he says, listen, you need to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Take it very, very seriously. Don't just look at what you have done and say, God, I did this, you owe me salvation. No, that's not how it works. We ask him to save us. We receive the gift of salvation. And as we receive the gift of salvation, he makes us born again. He changes us and he saves us. Because salvation is a work of God, not a work of man. And if it hasn't taken place in your life, that just means you don't have it. So, receive it. The fourth thing, Christ causes us to triumph. 2 Corinthians 2:14. This is a great verse. It says, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Thanks be to God, who always causes us to triumph in Christ. That's awesome. When your life is lived in Christ, you will always triumph. So if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, today is the day where you say, all right, God, I'm ready for the next level in my faith. I know that I'm an overcomer because of what you've said. Now, put God to the test and start living in victory, in triumph over life. See, if life just always happens to us, and all we do is respond to the things that happen to us, we're not living the way that Christ wants us to live. Because in Christ, we are proactive. We follow his Spirit, and his Spirit keeps us from sin. When we obey him, he helps us overcome the wicked one. It's a great work that he does. And God wants every single person that's trusted Christ as their Savior to get more out of life. Because he gives you more. Now, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, today's the moment to believe in him. Today's the day. And maybe you say, well, I've prayed and I've done this and I've done this. Well, maybe you need to stop doing everything and start trusting him to do his work. Maybe you need to start listening to what he's saying instead of trying to work for your own salvation. And if you've never trusted Christ, we're going to sing a song in just a couple minutes. I'd love to invite you just to come up. I'll be standing at the front. And I'd love to either share with you myself or have someone else in the church talk to you about trusting Jesus as your Savior. What it means to believe in him. Because the goal this morning is that we all leave here changed. Because if we are changed, we can go into the communities around us and be game changers. I'll never forget 21 years ago, meeting with my family in the living room. My sister had just passed away. And we read the Bible a little bit together. We prayed a whole lot. We shared memories about her life. And that night, as we sat in the living room, even though we were sad, and even though we were hurting, we were winning. Because we were trusting God. And when we had the funeral, it was terrible. We got a blizzard that day. We had to drive from Volinia over to Bloomingdale, Allegan, a little bit into Allegan, in this blizzard. It was awful. And the whole time, we were victorious. And when we put her body down into the ground and said goodbye to her for the last time, we were victorious because we were trusting in our Lord, and he was giving us the victory. My mom, she wrote a book about my sister's life. And people have come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior through that book. Because you know what happens? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He causes us at all times to triumph in Christ Jesus. I've had the opportunity to go to many different camps in many different states and preach. And as I preach, I usually share the story about when my sister passed away and how God was so good to help our family through that time. And people get saved when I share that story. And you know what? That just proves, it proves that no matter what happens in life, he has made us kings unto our God. And you know what? When the game is over, he can take you home. That's his choice. And you know what happens when he takes you home? You won. Because we are more than overcomers through Jesus Christ who has saved us. 12th Street, we are game changers. Let's live like it. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for giving to us these promises that you change life. And I pray that every single one of us this year will be looking at ways that you will make our situations, our circumstances, the people around us, that we will have opportunities to be game changers for others. But Lord, today as we just focus in on what you've already done and those who have trusted you. Lord, I pray if there's any Christian here that's, they haven't felt like a game changer. Maybe, Lord, they felt more like a loser than anything. I pray this morning they would just come and kneel before you and say, God, I know that the problem is not with you. I pray, Lord, they'd be honest and say, I know that the problem is with me. And as they do that, Lord, if they are your children, you will show them what you want. And this morning they will leave victorious. They will triumph today. And Lord, if anyone's here that's never trusted Christ, give them the boldness, the courage, because there's no greater thing that could ever happen in their life than for them to come and trust Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And so, Lord, I just pray that as we close out this time, that to you be the glory and honor in the way that we respond. Thank you for paying for it all for us. Thank you, Lord, that our lives are owed to you. We are made kings unto God. Thank you, God, for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together, and I would encourage you, respond as God would have you to respond this morning.
Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all, all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Praise him for what he's done. Let's sing this out. Let's close out the service. We should be excited because he has saved us from our sin.
Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. Paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
White as snow. You've given us a lot of reminders about that with all the snow that's fallen. And I thank you for that because it just reminds us of what the cleansing power of your salvation, what it does. Lord, as we leave from here the first Sunday of 2018, I thank you that we have opportunities to serve you. I thank you that we don't have to live a life that's bound into the mire of sin, that we don't have to live underneath the power of the world, but we are overcomers through him who has saved us, that in Christ Jesus, we are more than conquerors. And so God, as we leave from here, we go out in this world expecting you to do great things. So now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above whatever we could ask or think, be power and glory and dominion both now and forever, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless you. Make sure you pick up your t-shirt on the way out.